Oh, there's one.
Oh, wow.
Oh my god, oh my god.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Did you really think this out?
Hi!
I mean, there's no rhyme or reason.
It's just, I don't know.
Okay, you with me?
Welcome to Essential Salt for Maine Public Radio. This is a series of stories about what it means to make a life in Maine, all reported by students of the Salt Institute for Documentary Studies. I'm Jess Miller from Maine Public Radio, and I also went to Salt. This next story is very special to me. Going to Salt was a really incredible experience, not just because of what I learned when I was there, but because of the people I met when I was there. And one of those people produced this next story. It's called The Captain, and it's by Sofia Saldana. Sofia was a brilliant radio artist and a magical person. Sofia came to Maine from across the Atlantic Ocean, and she saw and loved Maine in a way that had that magic quality to it. Her work is so inspiring to me and to many people around the world who knew and loved her or who knew her work. Sofia passed away at the end of 2023, and I miss her a lot, and I think about her a lot. I've also listened to this piece often since then. She reported it back in 2012, and in classic Sofia fashion, it starts with a simple concept and becomes about something so much bigger, matters of the heart, and loss and fear and getting stuck in the past, but also love and new beginnings and a bright future. Not for nothing, but she does this all by trying to interview a ghost. So that's something. Okay, deep breath. This is The Captain from Sofia Saldana.
It's 4:27 in the morning. I'm in a room at the White Wolf Inn. And I'm waiting for the captain. I'm not sure if he's going to show up, but I would like him to, because, well, first of all, let me tell you why I'm here. Let's go back to this morning. I'm in Stratton, Maine, in a wooden house with a huge balcony. There's a restaurant on the ground floor. Sandy bought this place 22 years ago. I'm just spending the weekend. And apparently, there's a very special guest in the house.
I don't see him physically. I know when he's there and when he's not there. I mean, I can tell that something's different. You know, like there's an energy shift.
Weird things used to happen in the restaurant.
The waitresses would be cleaning the back dining room and shut the dining room down, and we'd be going out the door about half an hour later and there'd be a light on. And it wasn't just once or twice, it would happen periodically.
At the beginning, Sandy thought her employees were tricking her. But then, she was told the story of the captain.
So I got this lady who is a shaman, and she came and did a clearing. And then when she was all done, she said she was finished. And one of the things she did say was that there were a couple of spirits here that were good spirits, and she let them stay because they didn't want to leave.
The captain is a ghost. I'm not sure if I do believe in ghosts, but I can't stop thinking about it. I start romanticizing this man that spent his life in the sea. And then he didn't want to be in the sea anymore and ended up here. I guess if I was a sea captain, I would choose to live in a distant port of a bright city. Sandy believes that we don't choose. We're not in charge of our own destiny. She also didn't choose to be here.
I married someone because I thought that that's what I should do out of college, because that's what my family wanted. Because a woman can't be by herself and cannot provide for herself. You've heard these stories, right? So my husband turned out to be a homosexual. I tried to make this whole thing work. It took me 7 years. So I end up getting involved with a person, another man who I married, and moved up here, and we bought this place. He leaves me for a woman that was working here, and I'm the one with the debt, and I'm the one that has to run the place by myself. Now, everything falls in line that I can do this. And literally, at that point, things started working again for me in my life.
When is the moment you realize that things start working for you? Is there someone looking out for you after all? Why am I here anyway? Am I meant to be telling this story? If the captain is here now, he certainly has the answer to my questions.
I hear and understand he's a very friendly spirit.
This is Tom. He's a dowser. Tom uses weird instruments to communicate with spirits. Maybe he can help me.
Let me get out my pendulum. Is it all right for me to douse for these things? Okay. Show me my yes. Thank you. Can you show me no? Is this captain in the building? No. Is he in the area? Right now I'm getting a no. He's not in the area. Maybe he doesn't want to be interviewed.
Tom said that there is something else we can do. We can leave a recorder in the room and wait for the captain to say something on tape.
EVP, electro voice phenomena.
And that's what we did.
Captain, would you like to be interviewed? Would you want to come in? All right. I'm getting a yes.
We waited outside, and at the end, all we got was this. Sandy also doesn't hear the captain's voice, but she can feel his presence. Did she feel it when she was still married? Or all this started when she was left alone? He's now a reason for her to stay.
I mean, I've had, you know, I get lost people coming in here. I get, you know, kids that are turned back at the border because they don't have their passports, you know, and they have no place to go. And so the border guards stick them on a log truck and send them back to me. I mean, come on. Why? This is too weird. This is not a normal place. This is not what normally happens.
Are you happy?
Yeah. I mean, it's at some point, I just accepted that this is what I'm supposed to do and this is why I'm here. And when my job's done or whatever, then I'll be able to move on or go do something else. But everything has moved around to make it so that I could be here and prosper and take care of my needs. And in the process, I seem to be taking care of the needs of a lot of others, whether on a physical plane or a non-physical plane.
That's what I discovered today. I'll be gone in the morning and maybe I won't see the captain. But if I could, I would ask him if he's the owner of his own destiny. Did he choose to be in this small town in Maine? Or is there any spirit looking out for him? Captain, what happens when you die? For Salt Radio, I'm Sofia Saldanha.
That was The Captain, reported in 2012. We spoke to a lot of Sophia's close friends, before making this episode, and they all sent us letters of expression of gratitude for helping to share Sophia's work. This has become a lot of these people's mission. And we also were in touch with Sophia's mom, Arminda Saldana, who said that these days she doesn't really remember Sophia being sick. She just remembers the happy times and the wonderful tributes made in her memory. She goes on to say that Sophia's image had so much light and her presence filled every space. Here in Portugal, she says, there were many tributes to her publicizing her work, and they're creating an association so that all of her pieces can be shared in one place. They're also creating a memorial garden for her near her favorite bookstore. She said her ashes were thrown into the Atlantic Ocean, and that she likes to think that by now they may have reached Maine. Thank you for that, Arminda. Finally, a quick update on the captain. I called up Sandy, who you just heard in Sophia's piece. She told me the captain is still watching over the inn, and she credits him with intervening in an electrical fire that could have burned the whole place down recently. Sandy says she's gotten more in touch with the spiritual in recent years, and she's now the president of the American Society of Dowsers. Okay, so tell me if you've been in this situation before. You go camping in Maine, or you just want to get out on the ocean. And as soon as you're relaxing, you are inundated with noise. There's like a loud frog and mosquitoes and loons and birds and trains and ships and foghorns. And it's not as quiet as you actually thought it was when you first got there. That's what this next piece is about. All those sounds create definitely a vibe. They help you know where you are. They orient you in a place. And if you listen long enough, you might even be able to make a little meaning out of them. Maybe not as thrilling as a message from a ghost, but maybe an understanding of how the place around you has life in it and it's changing. This is Silence is a Sound, a 2023 piece from Joe Guven.
This is the soundscape of the dock on Bear Island, Maine, one of the five islands that make up the Great Cranberry Isles near Acadia National Park. It was recorded by the Island Soundscape Project, a group of three sound artists who take field recordings of Maine's unique maritime soundscapes based on community tips. This one was a recommendation from one of the island's only residents.
Everybody wants to tell you about the birds, right? But she also said you have to get the sound of the creaking on the dock.
That's jazz saxophonist and Island Soundscape Project member Steve Norton. The group records everyday sounds, like birds and waves and docks, but also things we cannot usually hear, like this unidentified underwater animal sound off Deer Isle. Or they record the vibrations running through the Deer Isle Bridge as cars roll over, using special microphones which can pick up sounds running through solid objects. Admittedly, soundscape studies is a pretty niche field, mostly appreciated by audio nerds like me. The field began in the 1960s, with the goal of using sound to understand how humans relate to their society and to the environment. It's part scientific research and part art project, but while the field has grown over time, it remains mostly academic. So what makes the ISP unique is their engagement with the public. After asking locals to tell them what sounds define their community, they make field recordings, arrange them into compositions, and turn them into public exhibits. That dock piece, for example, will soon be part of the Cranberry Isles Historical Society Museum. But even after some research, I had to ask, why do all this? And what exactly is a soundscape?
A soundscape is, in simple terms, is pretty much just the acoustic environment around you.
This is Adriana Cavalcanti, another member of the ISP. Adriana is a botanist, but she started working with sound as a new way to promote environmental awareness. To her, soundscapes are like the audio version of a photograph, and they can connect with audiences directly through their senses. We're talking about sound in the control room of a music studio, an intentionally silent space.
Like right now, we are in a room that's pretty flat, so we don't have much sounds around you. Like there's not much going on. But then we start paying more attention to our voice or to the buzz of the machines around us. There is a subtle buzz that if we are really quietly, we might be able to hear. Sound is always interfering on us. There is always sound around us. It's impossible in the world today to find a place there is no sound around you.
So, what is sound?
I think of it like this invisible wave energy, in a sense. It's almost like, is this something you feel in your skin? It's not just something you hear, right? Like, limiting that description would be naive, you know? Yeah, I don't know what is sound.
I also drove up to Sedgwick to meet with ISP member Nate Aldrich, a composer and professor at UMaine Orno. Nate lives in an old tourist trap, which he converted into his home/studio. It's full of books and microphones. He tells me he double-boxed the house, adding a layer to the walls to soundproof it. It's very quiet in there, but despite the soundproofing, you still hear trucks rumbling by outside.
Places you can go on the planet, South Pole, middle of the Brazilian Amazon, and how long is the interval between hearing human-made sounds that aren't voices? Engine noise, gunfire. And I believe in the 60s or early 70s, even at the South Pole, you couldn't go longer than 15 minutes without hearing an engine of some kind, a man-made sound that was not vocalized. Right? That's kind of nuts. Now I think the estimate is something like 4 minutes. No matter where you go.
Nate lives in the countryside to avoid the noise of cities. But he wants to show me that soundscapes are not only about pretty bird songs. He tells me to sit in a chair placed between two big speakers, and he plays this recording. It's a recording of people making repairs to a cobblestone street in Estonia. I sit with my eyes closed and listen. At first, these sounds felt unremarkable. But as I listen, I begin to notice the rhythm of the footsteps, voices, and hammering, all of which are random, but sometimes feel almost coordinated. Later, I notice the hammering is even slightly melodic. By the end, I am listening to the sounds of this city street like they are music. To Nate, hearing is simply the ear picking up a sound and sending it to the brain. It's automatic. We are virtually always hearing some kind of sound, but we are not always listening. Listening is about paying attention to a sound, thinking about it, and absorbing it.
If you listen to a sound and you don't find it very interesting, listen longer. And then if it's still uninteresting, listen longer. Eventually you realize it's very interesting.
Later, I went out with Steve to take some field recordings of bird calls on Deer Isle. Our goal was to capture the dawn chorus, when the birds awake at first light and start making their calls all at once.
I have a secret hope for ravens, but, you know, I'm not really holding out hope.
So we spent the evening walking in the woods, listening for bird calls, and looking for places to leave microphones running overnight.
Just stick the mics under here, which should, and between that and the forest, wind shouldn't be too bad.
To Steve, making field recordings is like fishing for sounds. You have a goal of what you want to capture, but there are no guarantees. There's a lot of waiting, and most of the time, you don't get anything special. But at least you get to spend some time somewhere calm and beautiful. And we did not catch any ravens, except for maybe one in the distance. But we did pick up a winter wren and a loon. As you can hear, we also got a lot of boat motors, starting even before the dawn chorus, as fishermen go out for an early catch. Steve says some people would be upset about picking up boat sounds in their nature recordings, but not him.
I would much rather make a thing that a community can say, oh yeah, there's us. One of the things that they'll hear is diesel boat motors, and lots of them. A lot of times I think that when you tell people you're going to make a soundscape, they're thinking, oh, you know, chirping birds and waves and, you know, all the pretty stuff that they enjoy. But your recorder there doesn't care whether it's pretty stuff you enjoy or a diesel boat motor. You get it all, and then you have to deal with it all. So hopefully it's a thing to think about.
On our drive back, we go by some wetlands, and we hear peepers calling. Steve says we have to get that, so he pulls over the car, turns everything off, and we sit there with our recorder out the window. Before long, a car pulls up behind us.
Okay.
We're good. Yeah, we're good. Thanks.
For Salt Radio, this is Joe Guven.
That was Silence is a Sound from 2023. You gotta love that Beyonce in the car. It's so good in that piece. It's a perfect ending to a radio story that's, of course, as much about sound as it is about silence, about how sounds can be annoying or inspiring, how they can bring back memories even or snap us to attention. Sounds can make us move. They can make us laugh or cry. They help us feel and think and dream. And we hope that listening to this series with us did a little bit of that for you. Thank you so much for listening. We love local storytelling that helps explain the stuff you see around Maine every day. Like, have you ever been walking in the forest and there's just a little rock wall up the trail beside you? Well, we have a video about the history of those little walls. Head to mainepublic.org/storytelling to check out some of our favorite recent pieces. I'm Jess Miller. Essential Salt is produced by Brenna Farrell, with help from Lucy Santerre. Thanks to Isaac Kestenbaum at Salt. Thanks also to Theo Balcom. Our executive producer is Susan Tran. Audio mixing by Steven Jackson. Essential Salt features original music composed by Q-Shop. You can find more music for storytelling at cue-shop.co. Support for Essential Salt comes from St. Mary's Health System in Lewiston, growing and evolving to best serve the needs of the community since 1888. Learn more at stmarysmaine.com.